Well, as we heard in the sermonette today, and as we all know, 2 days ago, most all of us sat down with some of our family, either physical family or spiritual family, or perhaps both in some cases, and shared an abundance of food. We gave thanks to God for the blessing of family, food, and hopefully truth, as well as God's plan and the protection that He provides us up to this point, largely in this nation. The day of Thanksgiving in this nation is one in which we have the day off from work. It's a day when, before or after eating a full meal, many watch football, play cards, watch movies, sit around and talk. Sadly, for some, it seems to merely serve as the physical fueling before going on a wild shopping spree, either online or in person. But no matter the traditions in your family on Thanksgiving Day, it does seem appropriate that I take the sermon time today to ask you an important question concerning the main theme or idea behind the day of Thanksgiving. And that's this question: just what are you really thankful for? I'd like to think that if asked, we could sit down and come up with a fairly extensive list of what we're thankful for. After all, you and I in this room have understanding that most do not. We understand that God does have a plan for us and for everyone that's ever been born. We understand what must happen before Jesus Christ returns to this earth. We recognize we would not be here if God had not given us life in the first place, and that we would not be breathing if He did not give us the ability to breathe and continue to allow that within our lives. We understand what must happen before Jesus Christ returns, and we understand that God's plan is by far the most loving and merciful. As a result of this understanding, we are also able to experience a level of peace that would not otherwise be found. All this said, I go back to the original question I asked: just what are you really thankful for? I decided to take the time over a week ago, last week before, to prepare a sermon with this thought in mind, and specifically, I decided to go through a good number of passages in Scripture reminding us of what God shows that we do have to be thankful for. Now, if you watch the news each week, it wouldn't be difficult to conclude that the protection that God has historically given to this nation is being removed. And that is not difficult to understand either, based on the disregard for obedience to God that most all people exhibit. But it's very important that you and I never fall into the trap of becoming discouraged to the point of it negatively affecting our thought, our process, and our behavior. The truth is, fellow family members, that God shows us in the Scripture the importance of being thankful, what to be thankful for, and who to give thanks to. So with this in mind, let's jump right into God's Word and see what we can learn as we turn over to Mark chapter 1 as it pertains to this subject. Now, let me begin with, let's look at the example that we are to follow. I think this is a great place to start. We all recognize the example we are to follow, of course, is Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed. Now, I start here because it's important we always remember where Christ's mind was. Where was His mind all the time? It was on the Father. It was on the work of the Father. He understood as no other the importance of their communication between one another. He knew that their relationship would not be the same apart from this routine to go to God in prayer. This is a glimpse right into his prayer life. How about us? What are we doing to develop and nurture our relationship with God? Jesus Christ was thankful for the relationship he had with the Father. And in order to follow the example of Jesus Christ, we too need to be very grateful for what God has opened our eyes to see. The more we value this, the more grateful, the more thankful we will be. What else can we learn from Jesus Christ's example when it comes to giving thanks? Let's go to John 17. John 17, verse 6 shares, I have manifested your name to them whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Of course, we're breaking into Jesus' prayer here to the Father just before he would be arrested, beaten, and killed. But notice what he's praying. He is praying for others and giving thanks to God for them. Consider the thought process. Verse 7 continues, Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you. They have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Clearly, he loved his disciples, while at the same time it should be obvious to us that he was thankful to them and knew it was important to ask God to protect them. Does this mean we don't pray for those that are outside of God's church? Well, of course it doesn't mean that. But there is a difference in those who have been called from those who have yet to be called. They live in darkness. We do not. Verse 12 continues, While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Again, his love for them is evident. He wants them to be protected from Satan. And we will see in a little while, that's part of what we are to thank God for as well. That he would protect us, and he would protect all of those who dedicate their lives to this walk of life. Who choose to live this way. God protects in many ways, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Let's read further and notice that Jesus Christ was also asking God's protection for all who are faithful to him, those who are a part of his church. Verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. This is truly beautiful. This is a section of scripture that we go through every year at Passover time, don't we? Jesus Christ is asking God for special blessing in the lives of all those who commit to this way of life. He wants you and me to experience unity, oneness of mind, the kind of oneness that he and the Father have. This is the kind of love he has for us, and it's also an expression of how thankful he is for all who are given his spirit and respond to it. Of course, one of the most important lessons we must come to understand regarding the subject of thankfulness is, to whom do we give thanks? Well, this isn't a difficult one for you and me to answer. I'm confident of that. However, let's read a few passages conveying its importance. Psalm chapter 50, the 50th Psalm. Psalm 50, let's read verse 14. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Now, there's a couple of points I'd like to stress or bring out here. First of all, hopefully you see this as a command. God is the great provider. He is the healer, sustainer. It's his plan to create human beings. It was his plan so that he could enjoy eternity with a much larger family. We would be absolutely foolish not to thank God daily for what he provides for us. That would just be foolish. Secondly, we are told here to pay our vows to him. The Hebrew word for vows, by the way, is N-E-D-E-R, and it means a promise. So we are to thank God for what he has given us, and we are to promise to him that we will honor him by giving him what he wants. What is it that God wants? He wants our submission, our honor, our worship. Again, after all, he is the great provider. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go to Ephesians 5, back to the New Testament now. And here in Ephesians 5, I'd like to read verse 20. Give thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think there's a couple things that are important to understand here. A lot of the so-called Christian world places so much emphasis on Jesus Christ's name, Jesus Christ's sacrifice, and that is appropriate, obviously. But sadly, what oftentimes gets left out is what's shared in the first part of this verse. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's very plain, isn't it? We give thanks to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. When we asked the blessing at Thanksgiving meal, we thanked God for all he's blessed us with, and we closed our prayer with what is shared here in this scripture, in the name of Jesus Christ. This is what we do whenever we are talking on our own, or we're on our own talking to God. What about God the Son as well as God the Father? Well, it's a good question. 1 Chronicles 16, it's one that we should answer. 1 Chronicles 16. Here in 1 Chronicles 16, beginning in verse 7. On that day, David first delivered his psalm to the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Now, this is referring to the word, capital W, that we see talked about in John chapter 1. The one who would later become known as the Son. We are to give thanks to both members of the Godhead. That is reinforced in Psalm 92 and verse 1. And Psalm 118 and verse 1 for those of you who are note takers. Now rather than take more time to dissect that we give thanks to God the Father and God the Son, let's consider two more questions that, frankly, I'd like to take the remainder of the sermon time to answer. Here's the first question. When should we give thanks? And secondarily, what should we give thanks for? So I'm going to address the first question, when should we give thanks? And then I will address the second question, what should we give thanks for? First of all, when should we give thanks? Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel 6. Here in Daniel chapter 6, I'd like to read verse 10. And when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Clearly, we all know we're breaking into the very familiar story of Daniel essentially being set up because of the jealousy that others had for the way the king favored him, Nebuchadnezzar. But what's important for us to see from this verse that speaks directly to today's sermon topic, and specifically the question of when we should give thanks, is it was his custom to both pray and give thanks 3 times a day. Now, there's no place in Scripture that says it would be a sin not to pray 3 times a day. However, what this does is give us insight into the idea that we should be habitual in our prayer, right? It should be a habit for us to do this. Also, the truth is, it's actually difficult to pray, frankly, and not give thanks, or at least it should be. I trust that's what you find in your prayer and talking to God. If all we do is ask God for things that we don't have, and we don't give thanks, isn't something missing? Of course it is. Let's look at another passage. 1 Thessalonians 5. This is a very short verse that speaks very directly. This shows that we should pray and give thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice verse 17, pray without ceasing. Once again, simply put, our habit should be that we pray every day. We talk to God every day. He needs to hear from us. Just as we age, we need as parents to hear from our children regularly. Something very special about that. With God, it's not only a matter of Him being our Heavenly Father, the one who gave us life, but the one that we are to honor and worship. So that deserves the most of our time and attention. So as with Daniel, and we saw in his example, it should be something we do every day. Let's notice verse 18 here in verse of 1 Thessalonians 5. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Again, we're to be grateful in general. Should it be how we think? You read different things, you see things, you watch people's behavior and so on. There's just not a whole lot of appreciation and a lot of thanks in a lot of different circles in life. Now, there are cases and there are times where you see that. But in general, we're trending in a very different direction. We talk about the importance of pursuing God's will. Right here we are told directly that it is God's will that we be thankful. Giving thanks, remembering who provides us with everything that we need. Now, I don't think I can overstate how important that is. It is God's will that we give thanks in all we do. It is important to God that we always remember who provides for us. You know why it's so important? Because the more we understand this, the more we emphasize in our lives, the more emphasize it in our lives, the more we will turn to God in general. It becomes a cycle or a circle, if you will, of where the more you spend time with, the more you recognize the need to spend time with. It just keeps going that way. And that's the way it should be. That's what he's looking for in each of us. He wants us to develop the habit of turning to God rather than turning anywhere else. For example, God doesn't want us relying on our own abilities, our own talents, when we should instead be putting things in His hands. After all, He's the one who gave the talents that we do have in the first place. Now, I hope we can all see and appreciate the connection here between giving thanks and being humble. How do we give thanks truly without being humble? We have to put in place where we are in the order. And we're not up here, where we, with human nature, tend to put ourselves. The more we come to appreciate who God is, what He does for us, what His plan is for mankind, the more humility we will exhibit and the less self-will we will display. Now, before moving on to the question, what do we give thanks for, I'd like to make one additional point regarding when we pray. Back in Daniel chapter 6, we saw that it was Daniel's habit to pray three times a day. We read that in verse 10. But what was also seen in that verse that I didn't mention was that he went back to his room to pray in private. Now, why would I bring that up at this point? Well, because it's important we remember that so much of our giving thanks is actually done in private, between us and God. As with all things pertaining to God, giving thanks is not for show. Look at me and pat myself on the back because I am giving thanks, everybody. Did you notice? That's not how God thinks and operates. As we learn to thank God properly, we learn that it's never about appearances, but rather it's about true thankfulness for what God has given. He's the one that needs to hear from us, not everybody else. Now, of course, this does not mean that we never give thanks in public. Obviously, if we're having a prayer, we're going to have a prayer at the end of services today. And I'm sure thanks will be given, as it should be. And we're all thankful together. We've shared this time to be able to come and honor and worship God and be in the presence of angels, no doubt. Now, so again, it's very important that we recognize the primary place that we go to give thanks is on our knees. And if we're not physically able to do that, in whatever form we're able to be able to talk to God and give Him thanks. Psalm 35, let's go there. Psalm 35. In the 35th chapter of Psalm, I'd like us to read now verse 18. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. I wanted to share this because it's very clear that although most of our thanks will be done in private, clearly there will be times when it is public. We give thanks to God at the end of services. I shared every weekly Sabbath, and this is as it should be. So it's important we reinforce to one another and to our children that we are grateful that God provides us the understanding that He does, as is seen here. It's important we reinforce that we are grateful for the opportunity to gather together on the Sabbath, as He's called us to. We're grateful for the opportunity to fellowship with those of like mind. It would not be right to close services without giving God thanks. So even though most of our thanks to God is given in private, we certainly do it in public as well. Let's now move on to addressing the question, what should we give thanks for? What should we give thanks for? Now, the simple answer to that question is, there is no set answer. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. There's not a set number of items that we give thanks for. Well, here's a hard, fast, set number. No, that's not accurate. If we are a grateful person, we will find that there is always something to give thanks to God for. But I will take a little time now to go through a number of specific reasons that we most definitely should thank God. And I do hope as we are enjoying Thanksgiving this week, as we were, that many of these came to mind as you took some time, I hope, to specifically focus on and talk with God about so many of the blessings that you have been given. Number one, we should be thankful for Christ's sacrifice. We should be thankful for Christ's sacrifice. Now, I don't know that any list that we start has to start with this at the top of the list. Perhaps we could say, well, we probably should start, we want to thank God for life. You know, in other words, you could squabble about, talk about what perhaps should come first on your list, if you will. But I can't argue that this may be the place to start in many ways, but I don't think it matters where we start. so long as we see the need to thank God for everything. And so long as we see the need to be specific. Let's go to John chapter 3, a verse that I remember. I don't remember seeing it that much anymore because we've become much more a-religious or non-religious in our country today than we used to be. But I used to see this fly on planes, pulling banners behind over football games when I was younger. John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The love of God for us is stated clearly here as any place in Scripture. But it would be incredibly short-sighted of us, frankly, downright rude of us, to not give thanks every single day to God for providing His Son as a sacrifice to cover the death penalty for us. If that had not occurred, we live whatever time we have on this earth, we die, that's it. Obviously, we need to thank both God the Father and our elder brother Jesus Christ for their love and desire to make us a part of their family eternally. For all note takers, here's some other scriptures that remind us of this important blessing and the need to give thanks for it. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, and Romans 6 and verse 23. And I'm doing this because I'm going to touch on 10 different points. It takes a little bit of time to get through that. So therefore, I'm giving you a number of different passages with each or most. Number two, we should be thankful for understanding / truth. We should be thankful for the truth that we've been blessed with and given. John chapter 8. John 8. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice the verse, let's go up to verse 30. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What a blessing it is to know that you know the truth. I know I'm repeating myself here, but I'll share with you again. I so firmly believe this. But one of the biggest attacks Satan is on right now is this attack against truth. He does not want any human being to ever even ask the question, what is the truth? And that's not just about the Word of God. It's the truth in anything. I mean, that's how you get to the point where you read the article that I read to you before the sermon started about don't call terrorists terrorists. We are afraid, people are more and more increasingly afraid to share the truth. Now, I will tell you this, must be wise in what we say and what we do. And social media may or may not be the platform we need to be using to share different things. That's its own challenge for sure. But what a blessing it is to know that you know the truth of God. With the truth comes relief in the form of freedom. We have peace that others simply don't experience because of this understanding. Without the truth of God, we could not know what is truly right. We could not know that there is absolute truth. Without understanding, we would default to feelings much more than we already do, which is very dangerous. God gives us emotions. He obviously inherently gave us feelings, but it's one thing to allow those feelings to control us, and another for us to control those. Feelings can lead anyone astray unless they understand the truth. John 17 and verse 17 reminds us that God's inspired word here in the pages of the Bible is the truth. Other passages remind us of the importance of truth and the fact that we should be very thankful for it. Again, for you note takers, here are a few more. Matthew 11 and verse 25. Psalm 111 and verse 10. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. And finally, John 14 and verse 6. Number three, we should be thankful for faithful members / examples. We should be thankful for faithful members examples. If I asked you, could you come up with someone in your mind quickly that you feel has shared and shown themselves, proved themselves to be an outstanding example, positive example in your life and in this walk of life, I'm quite certain we could all come up with somebody quickly, and hopefully a number of people would come to mind. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm very thankful for those that I look around and see are making the same efforts and strides that I feel I am to try to draw closer to God, to make God happy, to make other people happy, and doing it in the way that He's well pleased. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's not that there aren't a lot of people out there that want to make other people happy. There are. But by the way, that can also lead to a lot of problems, because if it doesn't begin with what God says, then it can lead people down all kinds of paths to give in to things that God says don't give in to. Well, I just wanted to make them happy. I wanted to make sure that they felt good and then they this and then that. That can be a very faulty road. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So Paul is sharing here how thankful that he was, thankful to God that he is, that they, you know, there were faithful members. In this case, he's writing to the church in Thessalonica. I've shared with you in the past how much I appreciate your dedication to the truth, your consistency in being an active part of the church. You know, the truth is, fellow family members, if I go somewhere and I look out and see lots of empty seats, I realize people come and go, and I understand that in terms of activities and different things. But that's different than when you look out and see the seats all full. I don't say that to try to make anybody feel guilty, by the way. I'm just saying it's just the truth. The truth of the matter is, when you know you're doing something with others who value this so much that they choose to put other things aside, make every effort to be here, that says a lot about that person. I appreciate what you do very much. The examples that you set when you know, and it's obvious to all of us, how much you value what God's given you. The more I see you buy into this way of life by throwing your all into it, the more thankful I am for your example. As you continue to bear good fruit, it's encouraging to those around you, and definitely to me as your pastor, I can tell you that. I mean, we aren't told to judge based upon fruit. Well, the fruit has to be produced, and that's encouraging then when you see that, and people making great strides and efforts to do what God has commanded us to do. Something in one sense you could say that is as simple simply gathering together and coming to church to be together when God commands us to do so in Hebrews 10, as I shared in my weekly update. And somebody might say, well, it's not that simple. Yeah, you're right, because there's all kinds of other choices that we can make. So it comes down to how much we value this. Romans 1, let's go there and see that. There are different people through my life that I have so appreciated for their example. Romans 1, verse 1 says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated the gospel of Christ. Skipping down to verse 7. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Apparently, word was working its way around that the church in Rome was faithful to the Word of God. They were faithful to what they had been taught. In fact, if you go to the last chapter, chapter 16, let's just do that, you'll find this thought reinforced. Chapter 16 here in Romans 16 and verse 19. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. Isn't that beautiful? To know this excited Paul and made him grateful to God for the work being done in their lives. The truth is, fellow family members, that I am encouraged and lifted when I see you dedicated to the truth, when I see you dedicated to being with one another, dedicated to growing and overcoming, focusing on improving your attitude and willing to make whatever changes need to be made in order to become all that you can be, because we all face those things in our lives. It's encouraging to me to see you overcome and grow. You know, isn't it encouraging to you if you see me push through things that you know I'm struggling with? That's no different for me looking at you. We're all in this together. We walk together. If one of us feels like we're in the trenches, we need others of us to be in the trenches together, lifting and encouraging. You have the ability to inspire one another and certainly have the ability to inspire me. This same thought is conveyed. There's some additional scriptures for you note takers in Colossians 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1, verses 15 and 16, and Philippians 1, verses 3 and 6, 3 through 6. Number 4, we should be thankful for God's ministry. We should be thankful for God's ministry. Now, just as the ministry is inspired by and thankful for faithful members, so too should the membership of God's church be thankful for faithful ministers. 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. I'd like to begin in verse 12. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. The question I would like to ask after reading this with you is, how thankful are you for those who lead by example? Now, I very much appreciate the example that I see within the leadership of the ministry at headquarters. I thank God each day for them, for their example. I know I cannot expect your respect, nor can I expect you to thank God for me if I'm not doing what I should be doing. So it's my duty to make sure that I do serve in the calling that has been given to me. Thank you for keeping the ministry in your prayer. We all need it very much. Turn with me to Romans 15. Romans 15. Here in Romans 15, I'd like to take a look at verse 30. Now, I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. The Apostle Paul understood how much strength, encouragement, and uplifting that he needed from God, and he knew that God listened to his faithful children. It really goes without saying that I too, along with Colleen, need this, as does Mr. Gore and all the ministry. We need protection from the spiritual attacks so that we can maintain and grow in the job that God's given us to do. There's not a one of us that don't face those fiery darts. The Apostle Paul is very grateful for the prayers of the members, asking God to strengthen him and protect him. I assure you that this is still the case today. within God's ministry. We all greatly appreciate that more than words can express, frankly. For your note takers, another passage you can put in your notes is Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Now, in that passage, it's clear we should be grateful for those who speak the truth and live faithful lives. Number five, we should be thankful for God's protection. Thankful for God's protection. You and I live in a very dangerous world, don't we? Every time we get in our car and we drive somewhere, we are in danger of being hit on the road, injured, or even killed. We live in a very angry world, one in which we never know when we might be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I am so saddened when I read a story, and I seem to read too many of these, 4-year-old, 6-year-old, doesn't matter what age, is dead because they were sitting at the breakfast table eating breakfast and a bullet came flying through the house wall and hit them and killed them. Random. Just madness, craziness. You know, we live in Satan's world, which means he's obviously, as I mentioned a moment ago, shooting fiery darts at us, as is pointed out in Ephesians 6, which is the section of Scripture that talks about the spiritual armor that we must all have, doing all that he can to distract us and turn us from obeying God. So it's important we thank God daily for his protection. Daniel chapter 6, let's go there. Daniel 6, we were there earlier. This time we're going to read, instead of verse 10, we're going to read verse 22. Daniel 6 and verse 22 says, "My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now, we read earlier one of the verses that led to Daniel being thrown into the lion's den, verse 10. But here we see that God provided miraculous protection. Daniel loved God, prayed to God, obeyed God. And as a result, God intervened. I'm sure you do the same thing when you read stories like this. I find myself thinking about how wild it must have been. I guess that's a word I could use here. For the king to be calling out for Daniel, and Daniel actually shouts back, "Yeah, I'm here." Can't imagine. How many times that you know of has God intervened in your life and provided you protection? You've certainly heard some of my stories in the past, in which God protected me from serious harm or even death. Colleen has her stories, and I know so many of you do as well. How many times has God protected you from making huge mistakes? I can think back on a number of occasions in my life when it was very clear God planted something in my mind at just the right time to keep me from hurting myself and hurting a lot of people around me, perhaps, that love me. There have been times when he protected me and I didn't realize it till well later. God's protection, I trust we all do see this, is very significant and likely more than we realize. So this is definitely an area in which we need to be thankful. Number six, we should be thankful for God's mercy. We should be thankful for God's mercy. You know, there are many places we could turn in Scripture that show how merciful God is. But I'd like us to turn to Psalm 136. As this is a psalm dedicated to the subject of thanksgiving for God's mercy. Psalm 136, and we'll notice very quickly the phrasing that is used here and repeated over and over. Psalm 136, beginning in verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders. His mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. Skip down to verse 23. Continues all the way down. Verse 23. Who remembered us in our lowly state. All right. We've heard some different times about depression, about being at low points. Anxiety is at an all-time high. The levels, and you talk about so many people dealing with issues of anxiety and depression. In this case, I read verse 23 and I'm reminded, God is always there. It's a matter of how willing we are to look, to turn to Him, to respond, to say, I do actually control more in my life than I might choose to realize or believe. His mercy endures forever. Verse 24, and rescued us from our enemies. How many times has He done that for you? For His mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for His mercy endures forever. Verse 26, oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever. You know, I could take time. I don't have the time here now. But if we were to break down and kind of consider verse by verse what's really being shared here, I believe there will be some interesting things that we could meditate on and come up with and recognize I got a lot more I need to take to God and be grateful for. And boy, am I thankful for His mercy. The question quickly comes to mind for many, I believe, is why is this written in this way? Here's what Barnes Notes has to say about this. It is a psalm of very peculiar construction and stands alone in the form of its poetry. Peculiarity consists in repeating at the close of each verse the language, for His mercy endures forever. This is a kind of refrain and may have been designed in public worship to be a response by a choir or by the people, that it may have been intended to be so used not so it may have intended to be used cannot so used, sorry, cannot be disproved, nor can anyone show that such a response in public worship is itself improper or wrong. It may have been merely a specimen of the poetic art among the Hebrews, one of the forms in which Hebrew poetry exposed itself or expressed itself. The general idea is that all these acts of the divine interposition, all that God has done, even though it seemed to be a display of power or of justice, of severity or of wrath, was in fact an illustration of the mercy of God and laid a foundation for praise. That is, all this was connected with the good of His people, with favors to mankind, with the accomplishment of great and benevolent purposes, and therefore was expressive of mercy. Proof that the mercy of God endures forever, end of quote. So, simply put, even though the style in which it was written may be in question, the words are not. We have an incredibly merciful God who loves us very much, more than we realize and more than we are probably much of the time thankful for in a way we should be. Some additional scriptures pertaining to God's mercy are Psalm 106 and verse 1, Psalm 107 and verse 1, and Psalm 31 and verse 7. Number 7, we should be thankful that death will be defeated. Oh, I like this a lot. Not that I don't like the others, by the way. The more time passes, the more I believe we appreciate this one. Because as you get older, you recognize your limitations. And you recognize my time on this earth. It's coming, and man, is it going. I was sharing with somebody recently the thought that I had expressed to Colleen, probably a few years ago. you know how you work? I was thinking about the ones of you in here who might be a little younger, and you're thinking, I'm working to get into the prime years of my life, prime working time, and so on. So you're working so hard, and whatever your career is, your situation is, to work at full capacity in the prime of your life. And then you get to that prime of your life, and someday it hits you, you go, I just passed the number prime or whatever, and I'm going this direction. And you say to yourself, wait a minute, I've been working so hard to get to the prime, I don't get any more time. I want more time at this prime. I don't want to go this way. And yet, man, is it fast. And somebody can say, well, what is prime? Well, it probably depends on what you're doing. If you're doing something very physical that requires back-breaking work, then your prime is going to be earlier in life than perhaps if you're doing office work. But consider even full functioning. I mean, thinking about what I do, I spend so much time in front of my computer, behind the wheel, visiting, et cetera, doing things that it's supposed to be and mentally stimulating and so on. But guess what happens to us as we get older? Even this slows down. And you think, man, I don't think I'm operating a prime anymore. What happened? We should be thankful that death is going to be defeated. The more time passes, I believe we appreciate this. We've all had loved ones that we can hardly wait to see again. We've all experienced watching a friend or a loved one go through a health trial that led to their death. Who amongst us isn't looking forward to death being defeated? I obviously think of this every time I attend or do a funeral. Let's go to Revelation 20. I'd like to begin in verse 12. It's a logical place to start. And I saw dead, small, and great, verse 12 of chapter 20, standing before God. And the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works. Verse 14, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. If you skip down to chapter 21, you notice verse 4 says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So there's a time coming in the future that death will be eliminated. It will happen after the return of Jesus Christ and after the time of Satan being removed permanently. What a blessing that will be. I do hope we go to God regularly to thank Him for the knowledge and the understanding that He's going to extinguish death. Who is it that you look forward to seeing again? What do you have questions for? But frankly, they aren't here now to ask. Obviously, since death is the last enemy to be defeated, this should be something that we crave. Here are some additional scriptures driving home this point. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 54, Isaiah 25 and verse 8, and Hosea 13 and verse 14. Number 8, we should be thankful upon the completion of significant projects. Since God is the provider of all that is good, we need to be thankful upon the completion of significant projects. He is the one that provides us with the means, the money, the talent, the know-how to get things done. And God loves and expects us to give Him thanks when a significant accomplishment is achieved, instead of patting ourselves on the back. We see this in the example of Nehemiah. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 12. After the temple was built, walls needed to be constructed and around Jerusalem. And that's where we'll pick the story up in Nehemiah chapter 12. Let me get here myself. Ezra and Nehemiah, chapter 12, and verse 27. Let's begin there. Now, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. So I saw just enough there to recognize there are going to be drums. Yes. Verse 28, the sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem, from the villages of the Nephthites and the house of Gilgal, and from the fields of Geba and Azimuth, for the singers have built themselves villages all around Jerusalem. Then the priests and Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates, and the wall. So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. One went to the right hand on the wall toward the refuse gate. Skipping down to verse 38. The other thanksgiving choir went the opposite way. And I was behind them and half of the people on the wall going past the tower of the ovens as far as the broad wall. And above the gate of Ephraim, above the old gate, above the fish gate, the tower of Hananel, and the tower of Hundred, as far as the sheep gate, and they stopped by the gate of the prison. So the two thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God, likewise I and half the rulers with me. Verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. What we see here is clearly a whole lot of rejoicing, giving thanks to God for what He did to help them and work through them. I don't know how many people think to do this when they finish a project, particularly a project in which you ask God to help you in the first place. But it's important we go back and complete the process that we began of asking God to help, by then going back and giving Him thanks for the help that He gave us to see this thing through and get it done. Number 9, we should be thankful for the blessings and opportunities that God gives us. We should be thankful for the blessings and the opportunities that God gives us. When was the last time you sat down to consider the blessings and opportunities that God gave you? Now, I've already pointed out a few in this message. You know the truth. Christ died for us. God protects us daily. He's going to wipe away death, etc. Just name a few. Let's take a look at a couple of scriptures reminding us that God expects us to be grateful for what He gives us. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Verse 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." Now, I'm pretty sure that we haven't necessarily always taken the time to sit down and think about the blessings that we got today from God. Now, I read this, and it says here, He daily loads us with benefits. Now, it is true, there are certain, the fact that we have life each day is another blessing that day. What else has He given to us today? Think about it. I shouldn't have to come up with those things for you. Think about what it is that He's given you. Do you believe this that we just read? It's true. It's God's inspired word. God blesses us daily. The question is, are we paying attention to even notice, or are we too focused on what we don't have? That's a biggie. It's so easy for us to focus on what we don't have rather than what we do have. According to what we read here, each of us is blessed with multiple blessings each day. The truth is, fellow family members, that we of all people should know this and be grateful to God for it. Psalm 40. 40th Psalm. Let's notice verse 5. "Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done. And your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Yeah, I get from this that God provides as no other, and His blessings are more than any of us even recognize. Think about it for a moment. We are on this earth because God created us. We know the truth because God called us. We have people that love us and family members because God made it so. We have a roof over our head because God provided one. We have the ability to positively affect those around us because God gives us a mind that's capable of being strong and positive and a positive influence. Now, I could go on and on and on, but I don't really have the time for that right now. I encourage you to go home and give that thought, create your own list. There is no question that the verses we are reading here need our attention. 1 Timothy 1, let's go there to the New Testament now. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And 1 Timothy 1, verse 12 shares with us, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful and putting me into the ministry." So the Apostle Paul shares with Timothy his thankfulness that God called him into the ministry. He was given a very special blessing, opportunity, calling to serve in God's ministry. So let me ask you the question. What are the opportunities that you have been given? Are you a spouse? That's a blessing. Are you a parent? That's a blessing. Are you a grandparent? That's a blessing. Think about all the opportunities that you have been given and take the time to thank God for each of them. There's rarely a prayer when I get down on my knees in my own personal prayer to talk to God that I don't thank him for the opportunity to be a husband, a father, a grandfather, to know the truth, have been called, to be able to be a pastor in his church, to serve in, and I'll list different capacities where I've been given opportunities to serve. There's hardly a time I get down on my knees and talk to him that I don't take that to him and thank him for it. And I try not to do it in a robotic way, so it's just like I'm saying something that doesn't mean anything. No, I want him to know I think about these things and I'm thankful for these opportunities. I know you have many opportunities yourself. You have many blessings. One more scripture pertaining to this point that you could put in your notes is Colossians 2 and verse 7. You know, there are many more blessings that we should be thankful for that we simply don't have time to bring out here, such as food, clothing, transportation, healing, wisdom, unity, peace of mind. Again, could go on and on. There really is a lot to thank God for when you think about it. If you find yourself thinking about what you don't have, make sure you kind of kick yourself from the behind and say, wait a minute, it's time for me to focus on what I do have. Because the other path leads to a downward spiral. For the 10th and final point I want to bring out today, I felt it wise to focus on what our ultimate goal should be. So point number 10, we should be thankful to God for the opportunity to live eternally as a spirit being in his family. Make sure we are thanking God regularly for the opportunity to be a spirit being in God's family and live eternally. Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a gift. There is no greater gift for any human being. So long as we continue to choose to repent when we realize we sin, the reward is eternal life in the family of God. Surely we would all agree that there's absolutely nothing better than this. Turn a page or so further over, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And verse 17 says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. There really are no words. This is awesome. This is what God's designed for you and me. And anyone else who chooses to repent, be baptized, and finish their race. You see why being ungrateful or unthankful is such an affront to God? Look at what he has given us. If we failed to appreciate that properly before this sermon, I hope and trust that what we read from the Bible today convicted us to place greater emphasis on being thankful, because we have every reason in the world to be so. You know, I know we're all wired differently. And within our wiring, sometimes some seem a little more predisposed to depression than others. I also know that life circumstances play a role in where our heads can be at different times. But fellow family members, I hope we always really find a way to bounce back and say, I know where God is. I know what God's plan is. I know what he wants for me and my loved ones. And I know that, frankly, I can push more than I've been pushing. Because there's no reason for me not to do that. To not do that would tell him I don't choose to have it in me what he's given me to have. I pray regularly that God helps all of us work through whatever battles we may be facing, to encourage, to lift. It's so important that all of us be able to see what God has blessed us with. Because our life, frankly, is so richly blessed. And to fail to see that would be a monumental mistake. No matter what we're going through. And maybe we're closer to the end of our race than the beginning of the race. But we still have so much to be grateful for. James 1. I'd like to close today's sermon by turning to one final scripture here in the passage of the book of James. James chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruits of his creatures. Everything worth anything is of God. We are first fruits because God has allowed us to be. As verse 17 reminds us, every good and every perfect gift is from him. Thanksgiving has come and gone for another year, but the intent behind that particular day should never be gone from our minds as it pertains to all the things that we need to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. It is clear from Scripture that God expects you and me to be thankful. So let's make sure a day does not pass without God hearing from us in regards to how grateful we are to him for his blessings.